In the late 1800s, orange growers were moving further and further away from northeast Florida, down into central Florida. While the land in central Florida was even better for growing citrus, growers had a problem. Transportation. Namely, transportation of their oranges out of the area so that they could sell them. Sometimes they had to take carts for hours to the nearest railroad stop once they'd harvested in the hopes that they could find a buyer in the busier cities connected by rail. Citrus packing plants, they were often located right by a mode of transport, like near the St. John's River, so that the product could be taken by steamboat or right by the railroad tracks. Smaller farmers would take their products to these packing plants, sometimes selling them to the packers themselves. To give you kind of an idea of their troubles, I want to focus in on one man in one city in the 1880s. A remarkable man, but namely Dr. Henry Foster of Oviedo, Florida. Great place to live, great place to visit, a really quirky town with a wonderful history. Anyway, he was a wealthy northerner who wintered in Florida and had his own groves in the city of Oviedo. Like a lot of growers in central Florida, he and the growers of Oviedo, they had bearing groves, but no simple way to get the oranges to the nexus of sales and gateway to the north, Jacksonville, Florida. The line from Jacksonville to Sanford, that wasn't complete until 1886. So, Dr. Henry Foster, he tried to organize stopgap solutions. First, in the early 1880s, he and other moneyed individuals in the community, they formed their own steamboat company. The nearby Lake Jessup connected into a series of lakes that emptied into the St. John's River, an alternate route to the all-important Jacksonville. Lake Jessup had a shallow draft, but one independent steamboat captain by the name of Eugene Biglow, he'd been sailing on it. So the group knew that it was possible, and they decided that he was their man. So he was sailing on a flat-bottom sternwheeler called the Isis. He'd already outfitted it with nice staterooms and even a saloon for the passengers. The Lake Jessup Steamboat Company, once they hired him and his sternwheeler on, they added another stack to the Isis, which already had one smokestack, two boilers, and two engines, in December of 1881. It's not actually known if they ever shipped any oranges on board, because less than 1 year later, in November 1882, the Isis ran into a storm on Lake George. It capsized the vessel, rendered it unsalvageable, and unfortunately, three crewmen were killed as well. With the coming of the railroads so close to Oviedo in Sanford, Foster wanted to make sure there would be a spur into Oviedo and near Lake Charm where his groves were, so he paid the Sanford and Indian Railroad to have it go right by his groves for $5,000. It was no small sum for the day. Since the plan of that steamboat cooperative had failed some 5 years before, orange growers rejoiced at the coming of the railroad in 1886. But as they were the last on the line of the St. John's River, connected to them via that shallow lake system, the Plant Railroad System, which was the parent company to the Sanford and Indian Railroad, they knew that they had a monopoly. When they opened the line, they charged 5 cents per box of oranges to Jacksonville. But in late 1887 or early 1888, they more than doubled their shipping rate to 11 cents a box. Doesn't sound like much now, but back then. The outraged growers, they complained, of course. But the railroad wouldn't budge. They were the only game in town, or the only game to get your oranges out of town. Foster even went all the way up to Tallahassee to plead their case and have the Railway Commission force the line to lower its rates, but the commission did nothing. So Foster and the other growers hatched a plan. They'd build their own damn railroad. The motivated growers, they put their money together to form the Oviedo, Lake Charm, and Lake Jessup Railroad, incorporated on October 26, 1888. A dude named Frederick DeBerry, whose steamboat line was fast being overtaken by the railways as the mode of transport for people and goods, he offered to haul the oranges out of Lake Jessup if they could get them to Solari's Wharf by rail. DeBerry, who mainly lived in Volusia County, still bought 40 shares of the new rail company, and Foster bought 20. Each share was about $50. Once formed, this new company moved with celerity, and it may have already had a surveyor out before it was even incorporated. But getting money out of the more cash-strapped other growers proved difficult, and when they bought the rails, DeBerry ended up holding a mortgage on them for $1,500. But by July 1889, the concern had bought land for the right-of-way and a pole cart. There were meant to have been two lines, one from Lake Charm to Solari's Wharf and the other branching at Oviedo, with land surveyors out, a deal with a competing steamboat, rail delivered, and some land bought. The plant railroad began to see that the pertinacious growers of Oviedo hadn't made idle threats. So they came down to 7 cents per box. This satisfied the majority of growers. Although the rails were sold for old iron, they never built that railroad, the cost reduction for orange shipping more than paid for the investment the growers had put into the enterprise. I hope you enjoyed this little tidbit of orange history. If you want to know more about Dr. Henry Foster and the other fabulous citizens of Oviedo, buy the book of Florida Oranges, A Colorful History, which will be released on September 30th. I'm the author, Erin Thursby. Thanks for listening.